They were first called Christians at Antioch. And the focus here this morning is going to be on an exhortation that was given by Barnabas to a whole bunch of folks that had just got saved. And Barnabas shows up and he's going to disciple this crowd. Now, I love to win souls. Somebody needs to follow up and do some discipleship. We're doing some of that. I heard a story where the fellow said, well, we need more disciples. Well, that's true, but you got to have decisions before you have disciples. But that's very true. And here's what Barnabas was doing. Now, the Bible don't say here exactly how many folks got saved. But there must have been a bunch of them. A lot of folks, because if you turn to Acts 11:21, it says this, said, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. It says a great number. That's a lot of folks. A great number believed, and they turned unto the Lord. Now, notice that it says they believed, watch it, and turned unto the Lord. It didn't say that they believed and turned unto Buddha, or they believed and turned unto Mohammed. Don't say that they believed and joined the lodge. I'm not against joining the lodge. They do a lot of good works, but it isn't what gets you to heaven. You got to learn to separate the two. I belong to two or three lodges in my lifetime, and still belong to the FOP and some of those other places, those fraternal groups. Most of them do a lot of good works. I remember our brother Steve Cowan say he used to preach against the Masons until his kid got burnt and he had to go to the Shriners Burns Institute. Said he left him alone. All the good works. Those are good works organization. But notice, when they believed on Christ, they turned to Christ. They didn't turn towards something else. And believe the Lord, that comes first. You got to believe He's the Savior. And then there comes a point where you actually believe that He can be not just the Savior, but your Savior. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what happened here. A preacher showed up and he preached Jesus Christ. And it says a great number believed what they heard. Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they turned from their position of either unbelief, or perhaps those were there that just didn't know. But when they heard the word of God and it touched their heart and they believed from the heart, And they turned from a position where they were before to a place where they heard the word, they believed it, and they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. My. Now, here in our text, Barnabas is dealing with this crowd of new converts. And here's where I'm going to take my text from this morning in verse 23. It says, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, watch it, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What a precious thought. You know, all that I do here, all that Brother Gabbard, fellows do, all that any preacher does is to try to get someone saved and then exhort them to cleave unto the Lord. Not everybody does that. So, a little sidebar here. Notice that he didn't tell them to hold up their right hands and solemnly swear that they were going to uphold this and do that. You got to be careful on that stuff. He just exhorted them to purpose in their hearts. And there's a difference. I've dealt with people, been at their hospital beds, and I've heard them tell me, say, Brother Tom, said if God gets me through this and I get out of this mess that I'm in, I'm gonna be in church every Sunday. I swear, Tom, I'm gonna be there every Sunday. Guess what? it don't come about. You got to be careful about making promises to God that your flesh can't keep. Paul said we are of those who have no confidence in the flesh. But what works scripturally is when you purpose in your heart to do something by the grace of God. And that works. When it comes to giving, the Bible says, let a man so give as he purposeth, every man as he purposeth in his heart. Then he says, of such things that you have. Not something you may not have a month from now. You may not have what you pledged, but if you purpose in your heart by God's grace, you leave it up to His grace to get you to do it, and you don't have to go to God on your face because you made a stupid vow that you can't keep. So you purpose in your heart, and that's just a little sidebar. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but there's a difference. But I've seen that on more than one occasion, but I don't remember ever seeing anyone fulfilling their vow to just, if God gets them through this turmoil, they're going to serve God, they're going to be in church, they're going to do all this stuff for God. My mind. Yep, you know, we as Christians, we're always making promises to God that our flesh can't keep. You shouldn't be doing that. All right, Bible says, just when a man think he stand, take heed lest he fall. Man, I'm glad I'm not like that fellow. You see what he did? Oh boy. Better watch your own self, buddy. All right. Now Barnabas knows here that the best that a man can do is purpose in his heart, and that's God's grace and mercy that will allow you to fulfill that purpose. Does that sound right? What did David say over in Psalms 57:2? He said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. That's God's grace that does those things for me. I purpose in my heart to do something for God, and His grace allows me to do it. As long as I can keep that flesh out of the way. Because there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a discussion. There's going to be a debate with the natural man over whether you do it or whether you don't do it. Anybody ever been there? Amen's all over the building. All right. Now the message from Barnabas is the same message for today. People need to hear the word, the gospel. They need to believe it, and they need to turn unto the Lord. Then Barnabas, when he saw the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Same today. Same message to the church today. We need to purpose in our hearts to cleave unto the Lord. You need to get it settled. As the verse said, settle it therefore. Well, you need to settle it, therefore, and purpose in your hearts to cleave to God. Now, Webster says that cleave means to strongly adhere to, or to become strongly involved with, or emotionally attached to something. And man, the day and age we're living in, it's a time like unlike any that I recall in all my life. The forces of the Antichrist have aligned themselves against the Lord and His church. It's evil versus good. You have to get it in your head that you're going to distance yourself from the darkness and you're going to head toward that light and cling to the light. Sister Graves sang this morning, I don't want to get adjusted to this world. A lot of folks are too at home. They're too at ease in Zion. They're too at home to adjust it to this world. You need to distance yourself from that darkness and cling to the light. Purpose in your heart to cleave unto God. You need to serve God, depend on God, pray to God, praise God, read about God. You talk to God, you walk to God with God. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. God wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. He wants to be there right by your side. He wants you to get as close to Him as you. He wants you to cleave unto Him. Don't worry about that crowd. Don't worry about what's going on in Washington. Or don't worry about what's going on in Washington, Indiana. You just don't worry about it. You're cleaving unto the Lord. Amen. Said, in me is peace. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. They got John 16:33. You walk with God. You talk with God. You tell Him that you are His own. Draw nigh unto Him, the Bible says, and He will draw nigh unto you. God wants your company. And, you know, for me, that was hard to imagine until the Scripture convinced me that God wanted my presence and my company with Him. My. The Lord, you remember the Lord's priestly prayer to His Heavenly Father over there in John 17? He said something there that is very interesting. He said in verse 24, John 17:24, He said, Father, I will that they also, this is His will, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. My, why would God want me with Him where He, I don't know, but He does, because He loves me. He's chosen me and I've chosen Him to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Another place He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. My. God wants you to cleave unto Him. He wants to be your best buddy. Now you got to separate that relationship from the Lord thy God. He's your God. He's God Almighty. But He wants you to be close to Him. Wants you to be with Him. He's up going on the mountain to pray. He wants some disciples to go with Him. And He prayed that prayer. If I just had some preachers with me up here. If I had some folks with me up here. That they would be with me where I am. A lot of times you're going through a struggle. You know what you're doing? You've been where He was. You're with Him when He struggled. Bible says to know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. Bible says if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. The Bible says, for we know that the sufferings of this present life, how does that go? The sufferings of this life are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. The Lord wants you with Him. He wants you to cleave unto Him. See, God's not the problem. God hasn't gone anywhere. Brother Doyle used to tell the story. I've repeated it here several times. A couple of the first gets married, and boy, he might be driving. She snuggled up under his arm there, right close together down the road, and 20 years later, she's sitting on the other side of the car or the truck and says, honey, what happened? Well, I used to be right up next to you. He said, I haven't moved. God hasn't moved. He still wants you to snuggle up. Cuddle up with Him. God's not the problem. He's the same place He has always been, and we're the ones who have left Him. We've gone our own way. Hey, Christians have limited God because we refuse to cleave to Him. He wants to bless us, but He can't because we're attached to this world. We've aligned ourselves and have cleaved. Is that the right tense there? We cleaved to something different than Him. Folks want to cleave to everything in the world, but everything but God. But everything but God until the big crisis comes. What's that about? Hey, cleaving to God, it don't say here for emergency use only. It should be a daily thing, a hourly thing, minute by minute, moment by moment, cleave unto God. Hey, this cleaving to God, it's not for emergency use. It's not a spare tire. This cleaving to God, it's a wonderful thing. The Lord told the Jews that they had limited the Holy One of Israel. You want blessed this morning by God? You want protection from God? You want the peace of God? Then cleave unto the Lord. Purpose in your heart. How do I do that? First of all, you got a purpose in your heart. You've been cleaving to other things, and then God comes along and shows up, and it's kind of like an afterthought. When things start to go south, that, oh, we better pray, we better call on God. Everything goes crazy. Then all of a sudden you find yourself in the situation room, so to speak, trying to get a hold of God. Well, where were you yesterday and the day before when God wanted you to be with Him? You weren't interested. You had other things to do. God wanted to be close to you last week. Where were you then, pretty boy Floyd? Well, I had a good fishing trip. Well, that's okay to go fishing. The Lord showed fishermen for His disciples. I told the church one time, you know, you teach a, you give a man a fish and he eats for one day. You teach him how to fish. And he'll go out and buy a boat and he'll lay out a church every Sunday for the next 2 summers. It's a little different spin than what. All right. God wanted to be close to you last week. I've never seen a time like it is in history when America has been so deceived and divided. The deceived and the deceiver champ. There's a crowd over here that champions wickedness. And God's crowd is something to be shunned by the national news media and the elite educators and most of the politicians. Hey, you know, without the church, there wouldn't be any division without the church. But God says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's why there's division, because that crowd wants to say, come on, join us. The pro-abortion crowd, the pro-perversion crowd. The crowd pro-anything that goes against the commandments of God. The devil's behind all those lies and all the deceit and the division in this world. Church versus world. Church versus the Antichrist. He stands against the church, and if you're part of the church, then He stands against you. Turn to the Lord and cleave. Purpose in your heart to cleave unto the Lord. That's the rebuttal. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Now, some of you may have voted for this crowd, but believe me, He's not for you. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, He's not for you. You're going to find yourself alibiing for that crowd that you've lined up with. Hey, if you've not noticed by now that there is an alignment of those forces of evil against the Word of God, God's people, then you've simply just had your head in the sand. I've never seen that division so apparent as it is today, so obvious. You've just either had your head in the sand, or have you watched one too many episodes of The Simpsons. And my generation is Bugs Bunny. Yep. What's up, folks? You know. Yep. All right. Hey, purpose in your heart. Cleave unto the Lord. And the Bible even speaks of those who were willingly ignorant. Don't be willingly ignorant of what's going on around you in this world. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, the Lord said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Material things. You can't serve both. You can't cleave unto one and still cleave to the other. Sure, you can see those forces lining up. The Antichrist, his crowd. God and his crowd. The Bible-believing crowd. Now, here's a novel thought. Do you think that maybe the reason for all the craziness in this world, global warming, if that's real, the pandemic, we know that that's real. You think maybe that God might be a little upset at what's going on? You think maybe he's a little upset because of the 70 million babies, the innocent blood crying out from the ground? You think God might be a little indifferent to that foolishness and indignant about it? You think maybe God ought to be a little upset? Can you imagine how dark does someone have to be to kill an innocent baby in the womb? That's wickedness and it's darkness. And if it hadn't brought judgment on this world, it should have. My. God and his word that he places above his name has been booted out of the public forum. We've done everything we can to offend God. Everything that we can think of that offends a holy God, this country's done it. You think maybe God might just be a little bit angry? You think maybe that God has just about had enough of this crowd? You think God may be about ready to call home his church and then pour that cup of the wrath of his indignation out on this world after the church is gone? You think? What do you think? Is it just me? Hey, the God of the Bible is holy, and the God of the Bible hates sin. The God of the Bible hates every wicked way. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day.
Boy, that my preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. That's pretty rough preaching.
You've just never heard it maybe before. You think maybe America is rubbing a holy God the wrong way? You think you might be upset? My. Purpose in your heart, no matter what's going on around you, folks, to cleave unto the Lord. If ever we need to cleave unto the Lord, the time would be now. Some of you folks with children, you've got children, and some of you grandchildren, and you're wondering, what's going to become of those grandchildren? Well, I know over there in Deuteronomy 139, and the context is the children of Israel getting ready to enter into the promised land. And he said, your little ones and your children in that day, when you said should be a prey. That's what people were, your children being a prey. He said, they shall enter in and possess it. They shall go into a picture of heaven, the promised land. I will give it to them, for in that day they had no knowledge between good and evil. Peter's God was going to take those kids right out with you. That's a good thought, isn't it? All right, let me finish up here. I got a little bit to go. Now, you folks with children, what does your child do when that child gets hurt or gets frightened? That child will run to their protector, to the ones that loves them. I've seen kids just hanging on daddy's leg or on mama's skirt or on mama's leg, just clinging to them because they know that's where they're safe. They know that's where their protection is. My. They cleave unto the one that they know love them and will protect them. All right, quickly now. Number one, purpose in your heart to cleave unto the Lord. Every purpose needs a plan. You need to get your babies into the ark. You need to get them saved. You need to tell them about Jesus. You need to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You need a plan for their protection. You need to protect them from all those forces that are lined up against the church. You need to plan for their education away from the social engineering in many of today's public schools and colleges. I don't think it's reached us locally yet, but it's coming to a school soon near you. If the NEA has its way. Ungodly school curriculums, they promote everything that they shouldn't. Get them out, or in a few years, you know what will happen? They'll be lost to this elitist crowd, and it's difficult to get them back. It's very difficult to get them back once they're lost to that crowd. My. Find out who their teachers are. Find out what they believe and what they're teaching your children. God never meant for the world to bring up your children. That's your responsibility. If you don't pay attention now, that woke crowd will convince your child that mom and dad are the problem and not the solution. That woke crowd wants to cancel out mom and dad and everything that you have taught those children. Then what are you going to do then? You've kept your eyes closed too long. Your children, if left to themselves, listen, if they're left to themselves, they will gravitate to that woke crowd. Because they're told the only way they can fit in is to gravitate to that crowd. They want to fit in. They want to be cool. They want to be woke. God help us. A purpose in your heart to cleave unto the Lord. Plan for your children and grandchildren. Plan for their protection, their education, their vocation. What's that about? Well, what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Teach that child, if their hand, whatever their hand finds to do, if they find something that they like to do, let them know that if they get real good at what they do, they're going to always have a job. You don't have to be a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief. What God wants you to do is please Him. David said, whatever your hand findeth to do, you do it with your might. You get good at something. Get good at anything and you'll always have a living. Maybe not high living, but you'll always have a living. And raise his babies and your grandchildren in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bringing up their children there. How about socialization? That's the last one, I guess. Who they run with. Do you pay attention to that? Who they run with is who they will become. By affinity, all the drug folks kind of hang together. I know that. All the party animals. That's me. Yeah, party can start. I'm here. The socialization. You know, when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, you know what He didn't give them? When He put them there, He did not give them the knowledge of evil. Well, I think my kids need to learn about this and about that. No, they don't. When Adam and Eve, they didn't never had the knowledge of evil, and it was called paradise. Only through sin did they learn about the evil. Only when they sinned against God that they learned that. Nothing in Scripture promotes the knowledge of evil. You need to learn the good. Choose the good. Learn about God and learn about God's commandments. Learn about the Lord. Cleave unto Him. Draw nigh unto Him and He'll draw nigh unto you. I'm done. If you're here this morning, maybe you're here and you have never trusted Jesus Christ. That's the simplest thing in the world. If you come to a heart belief, why not just step out and say, I'm going to identify with Jesus Christ and His church. I heard the word and I believe it and I'm going to turn to the Lord. And maybe you've been saved, and maybe it's time that you receive that exhortation as Barnabas gave to purpose in your heart to cleave unto the Lord. What are you cleaving to this morning? The altar's open. If you're here, you've never been saved. Bible says we're all a mess. You're a mess. I'm a mess. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid that death for your sins if you'll accept it. If you'll accept that gift of God of eternal life, to step out by faith. Lord, I've heard it. I believe it. I want to turn to you. I want to trust you, Lord, the best way I know how.